Well, Father, I just thank you so much for this avenue that you've given us to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, for tonight's meeting would be orchestrated by you and that new revelations would come forth. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, that you've given us to lead us and guide us and teach us the things that you want us to know. And that's a lot of things to know, Lord. I just praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, put bold faith in all of us to believe your word and to come to the realization that we have to trust you in everything in our life. And in order to do that, Lord, we have to talk with you. We have to communicate with you daily. If we don't, we'll miss something. Not only will we miss something, we won't have that protection if we don't come and talk with you and have you guide us for the day. And, you know, Lord, I've lacked that discipline to do it every day. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in my heart to start doing it. And I just praise you, Father, that those times that we have, Lord, they're good times. And I feel your Holy Spirit. I don't have to feel him, but I know that at times that you do, you come upon us and love on us and give us that reassuring nudge that you do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you do that too, because we need that. We need that encouragement occasionally. Actually, we like to have it all the time, but we know that we have to walk by faith all of the time. And the way we do that is not to have to feel, touch, or smell you, Lord, but just know that you're there. And I just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in my brothers and sisters too, Lord, that you're doing the same thing with them, that we're relying more and more upon you to guide our daily life and to show us that when to open our mouth and when to keep it shut. And most of the time it's just to keep it shut and listen and to gain knowledge from you, Lord. I know that in the past, Father, that I've come to you with nothing but talking and rather than listening. And you've taught me how to just sit and listen. And I know it's hard for us to do that at times, but Lord, it's necessary in order to hear that still small voice that you've given us and to speak those things that you want us to hear and to understand that you want the best for all of us. And the best for all of us is Jesus Christ. And to walk like him, Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in my brothers and sisters. And I ask, Father, that those that might be stumbling out there, that you'd lift them up, Lord, that you would encourage them to seek you every day, even before they get up, that they would just lie in bed and thank you and just listen for what you have to tell them that day. And to place it in them to pray that everything would be peaceful wherever they're going, that everything would be okay because you're in charge. And just like Pat's been doing in his workplace, to pray before he goes to work and to pray that peace, wisdom, and thorough knowledge into what you want them to do for that day to get the job done, and to understand that we're working for you. We're not working for some company out there. And Lord, I thank you for it. And when people come up and they start getting in our face, Lord, we don't have to retort. We don't have to do anything but just sit there and pray, because we know that they're lost. They don't have any other way they don't know of any other way to act but then what they're doing, and to do just like Jesus did and many others did after him, is to hold it not against them, Lord, because they don't know what they're doing. And Father, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in all of us. You're putting us on that road of holiness and perfection. and sanctification. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect us. Psalms 91 comes to mind, that we're going to be walking in Psalms 91 in the days ahead. And I thank you, Lord, that all the people of your chosen, of your elect, in the path of that hurricane will be saved, will be miraculously saved, and nobody will get hurt, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for this. I don't know this, but Lord, it just seems to me that this is just the start of some judgment that you're fixing to place on this nation. And Lord, I thank you that you've got us in this place of prayer, this place of fellowship with you, Lord, before all this happened, so we can understand and where to go and what to say and how to act, you know, around people. And Lord, I know I'm kind of rambling now, but I just appreciate you so much. I love you, Lord. And I know my brothers and sisters do too. And I thank you, Lord, for directing everything tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, hey, Debbie and Denny. Who is that? Hey. Yeah, pretty baby. Come on now. Y'all holding back on me here. I didn't know y'all had another.
There. Yeah. This is Cat May.
That's who?
Cat May is her name. Cat May.
Okay.
K-A-T-M-A-I. Cat May.
Okay. Hey, girl. Hey, sweetie.
Can you say hi?
Let me see if I can get my video going here.
She's who we are here taking care of.
Hi, girl.
A few weeks.
Cat May. Cat May. Hi. Hi. Hey, sugar. Hey, sweetie. You getting
so we'd love to get up to say hi and maybe have a prayer, and then we'll have to go.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Amen. Sure. Well, amen. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for getting us up here safely and just for all you want to do while we're here, and pray for victory, especially our daughter and little Cat May here, and just have your hand upon her, and Jonah, her son. And we're just trusting you, Lord, for the outcome, Father. We thank you for providing, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. And bless the conference call tonight. Bless everyone who's on. We love you all, and have a good evening.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, we just thank you for leading and guiding Debbie and Denny into the places you want them to go. And Lord, we thank you for giving them wisdom and knowledge into what you want them to say as well, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to be this light that we talked about in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling everything through them, amen, for his family, for their family, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Man, you all be blessed.
All right, you too. Bye, amen. Cat and me.
Who's that?
All right. That pretty little baby. Pretty little baby. Y'all gonna have to bring her to Tennessee. I can tell that already. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request?
Hey, look, Michael, you came in pretty good with your video on. You think you need to have it off?
Oh, you like to see my pretty face, huh? Okay.
That's why. That's it. I don't know who's behind that sign.
Okay. All right. We'll try it and see what happens. Hey, girl. Hi. Hi. Oh, you should have brought that baby on this thing. I love babies. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. How old is she?
I say, let me guess. Let me guess.
Okay.
Hold her up.
Is she two?
No.
Year and a half?
No.
Less.
Less.
A year?
Less.
Less than a year?
Yeah.
Get out of that.
Eight months.
8 months. Well, mm-hmm. It's hard to tell on the video. That's my excuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. She is pretty.
She's a sweetheart.
Thanks, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, she is.
All right.
Yeah. She don't look like Denny.
Bless your call tonight.
Okay. Praise God. Did you hear me?
Everybody.
Did you hear me, Debbie? I said she don't look like Denny. Praise God. Thank you. No, she's a pretty baby.
Thank you. We'll see you guys later.
Okay. Bless you.
Good meeting.
Thanks for coming on and bringing that pretty baby.
Yeah, you're welcome. God bless. Thanks for your prayers.
Okay. Bless you. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I do kind of look yellow, don't I? Get away.
It's all right. You look good.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody got a testimony or praise report or prayer request? Let me turn the fan on. I'm getting a little bit. Earlier, I came in sweating, and Jeanette had the air conditioner on about 40, and I got cold. Seemed like it was on 40 anyway. Probably was on about 70. Okay.
I guess I'd like to pray for our families. Okay. At least the ones that haven't come on board with us where we're at, that the Lord moving their lives, you know. Because you just wait, you wait, and you wait, and you're not seeing any progress. You're thinking, Lord, come on, I need them to come on board here to be with, be in the same mind, not being the religion. At least I'm in that. I got that religious spirit thing going on here. Not too bad, but still, they're not in the same. They don't see what I see. They don't understand what I understand. So, Lord, I just ask you to bring this body of yours in the one mind, in one heart, one spirit, one accord, so we all can be ready for you and seeking you and earnestly desiring what you need to have brought into this world in our lives as the times progress, Lord. We know we can't do this on our own. We always look for you for these things, but especially for those that are still in the dark and they're just still doing the religious thing and don't have a clue of what's going on around in the world in them. Lord, we ask that you open their eyes and their hearts to grab their attention finally, to start seeing you for what you are in the scriptures and what you desire all of us to come into, and that's the knowledge and the image of Jesus, and to put aside the religious playpen antics they're involved in and start taking you serious and allowing us all to come together and grow together in you. I ask this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew.
Can you hear me? Good. I got a bit of a praise report. My daughter came over yesterday. She brought me two nice salads, so that was good too. I had some salad for supper today. And she I didn't see her for a while. She stayed for about 20 minutes. And it was right when I was listening to the Bible study yesterday. So I remember that I downloaded some of the music that you guys were sewing some of your titles there. And I asked her if she's been going to church lately with her new husband. And they said, well, there hasn't been really any much time for that. And so I played one of the songs for her about needing Jesus more. I need you more. I don't know whose song that was. And of course, they have the little subtitles at the bottom, and it's also written in Portuguese. I don't know why, but that's the one I copied. And she listened to the whole song very intently, you know. And we had a bit of a conversation there, and it went very well, you know. I left. I have the postcard that David Hill sent me with the Sovereign God book. It's covering the nameplate to open the front door to push them in, because that's all done by phone now, so they still have the button there, but it's not really used anymore. And I put that Sovereign God postcard over top of that so it would hide the ugly button. And then she looked at it and I went, Yeah, and I mentioned that's a really good book, and of course has the whole web address on it and everything. And, you know, hopefully she'll get to look at that. Told her to read her Bible that I gave her, because, you know, he came over here with her and asked her hand in the marriage, and I said, well, you can finally pick up your Bible, Tracy, and take it home. And he took it, you know, because, you know, I told you he quoted some verses to me, and he used to be in the music, and he used to play his bass electric guitar in the church as a guy who would sing for you know, worship leader, whatever, or just one in the band there. And it's nice to actually hear from her, you know, because I'm kind of a lonely person here, and it's an answer to prayer. And thank God she came over and brought me some good food so I don't have to eat too badly anyway. And I just think it's a good praise report anyway for her to come over and have an answer to prayer and show her a song and tell her to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I'd just thank you for that prayer, Dave, to mention that. And brought that back to mind when she came over yesterday. And I fully agree with all that prayer there. And I back it up with my faith also. In Jesus' name, amen.
I didn't have my mic down. Sorry about that. Some great revelations came forth. I forgot what I said, but okay. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report, or prayer request? Joe, you doing okay, Joe D?
A bit better. Did you get my text?
I did, and okay, I prayed for you. I just got so busy, I couldn't. I didn't get to respond back to you, and I apologize for that.
No, you're fine. I sense that you did, you know, because things got better, and well, yeah. I just, you know, I guess it just, you know, I'm feeling okay right now. Just some of the usual struggles in life, you know, but. I don't know. Maybe it was just I wasn't prepared for the attack that came. And it's a lot of the usual stuff, usual sick jokes, you know, basically what I told you, sick joking, you know, I mean, sexually oriented. I'm not going into, you know, detail, of course, but working around a bunch of guys and, you know, unsaved ones, that stuff, you know, is just common. And I think, I don't know what it was. It was just different yesterday morning. Then it just really rubbed me the wrong way. You know, maybe that was my cue of just, I don't know. I mean, it's just really, I mean, it left me very unsettled. And, you know, I mean, I was fighting a lot of, you know, anger, unforgiveness, all that stuff all day yesterday. And, yeah, I mean, one guy, I think, one coworker came up and said, you know, you're awful quiet today, Joe. What's going on? You know, anything up? I said, no, you know, everything's all right. You know, just kind of, I mean, avoid the issues. Because a lot of times when I bring things up, you know, there's always disagreements or just, you know, that person's not gonna listen. So I mean, I don't know, you know, but so, you know, just pray for me in that area. It's just, I guess it was more of a, I don't know, I felt kind of blindsided, you know, by the enemy there. I was thinking, okay, this isn't anything out of the ordinary, you know, that happens from day to day. So it just kind of caught me off guard. And today, I mean, I did sense that you did pray, you know, things got much better and, you know, things settled down. So, I mean, I sensed that I basically went to the boss with it. And, you know, I saw, I mean, of course, most of the time from my experience, when I kind of you know, speak up and stand up for myself, I guess you could say. You know, there's always those who just with hurt feelings, you know, like, oh, I guess they'd lose respect for me or whatever. And I mean, it didn't bother me. You know, I mean, it used to really bother me a lot with dealing with, you know, rejection and all that stuff. I would take it to heart, and I was thinking, I took it personal, but I thought, well, I mean, it didn't really bother me. I thought this is something I should do, you know, and it, you know, let me deal with this, you know, before it gets way out of hand or, you know, I mean, it could get worse. So I said, you know, I just need to get, you know, go to management and talk about it. And yeah, he talked to the people today about it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and I mean, like I was saying, it's just no one really talked to me, you know? And so I think it's like, they were probably offended or whatever, thinking, hey, you know, Joe's got an issue with us. And it's wasn't that, it's just, it was so much, I didn't appreciate what was said, you know, in the joking. So yeah, I mean, I could just keep me in prayer about it, you know, and, you know, I mean, that I could be encouraged. I kind of felt a bit discouraged today and, you know, yesterday about it. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
You know what I used to do when that kind of stuff happened? I just walk away. They get the message real quick.
Yeah.
That I didn't want to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I just walk away and go do whatever I had to do, you know.
Yeah.
And they quit doing that around me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, George, what you got, buddy?
I was just thinking about this whole type of scenario, work situations and going to big meetings and things where you kind of get bulldozed sometimes by the world. And I felt like last time I was – I've been to a couple of big meetings in Boston where their diversity moment was all about you can't help who you love, blah, blah, blah. It was just way out there, like cutting edge of hell. And no, everybody just took a big bite of it and swallowed it. And boy, I did not have a good time. And I felt like in the last meeting I went to, I was 10 minutes late and missed all of that. So I have no idea what they exposed them to. But felt like I needed to just go ahead and take liberty, and if they want to go ahead and make it a Christ versus Antichrist stand, they're going to take their stand, and they've opened up the battle theater the way I look at it. And I felt like I need to prepare myself, maybe even write down a note card that just has a quick 15 seconds of, if anybody in this room needs healing, devils cast out, the dead raised, you know, just go to the exact extreme of what's on the table and give it to them in 15 seconds and say, I know people all over New England that can get to you and help you. And if anybody needs Jesus and needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I can help you. Just reach out. And then let us go on with our meeting. If anybody, you know, if anybody goes nuts, then they drew first blood and let's get it on, the way I look at it. So, you know, maybe that's what the enemy is trying to prevent anyway, Joe, is you are salt and light in that workplace and you are life. You're actually saving their lives by being there. And the only reason some of them have breath in their lungs is because God's throwing them a lifeline and giving them an opportunity to say yes. And they're going to open their mouth and you're going to put those beautiful feet right in their mouth. You know, you're going to bring the good news. And be encouraged, be prepared. Instant in season and out of season, have a smile on your face. I have to tell myself and tell my children, you know, we're saved. Don't forget to tell your face that you're saved and just have joy. Nobody can come on that mountain. Those wild bees cannot come up on Zion and touch the mountain that you live in. You live in a kingdom that can't be touched with hands. You're in an awesome position to offer life. So you just need to go in with your bag, with your satchel packed and ready to rock. And, you know, even if it's one little thing of encouragement where, you know, I know I'm pushing. It's easy to talk about it until you get in the midst of all of it. But somehow just even having the imagination to say, this is, you know, can I do it? What do I want to say? And who knows? You know what I mean? Maybe this confrontation stuff is a setup that God wants us to enjoy. And I love you guys. I'll be praying for everybody to have good reports in every relationship. Obviously, we're trying to get our vertical relationship as good as it can be, and all them horizontal ones are going to work out.
Okay, Georgia, we lost you.
Yeah, I'm getting some internet issues, but that's about all I
know. Okay, bud. That was good. Thank you so much. I thought it was me there for a minute, but I see other people moving, so it's not. It ain't me. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's right. Great encouragement there, George. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Dale.
I just wanted to comment on that, George's statement that get the vertical relationship good and the horizontal ones will work out. That I've never heard it put that way before. That's a very good illustration. That's something I'm going to keep in the back of my head there for future reference. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. That was a good one. Hey, George, can we use that? Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
George lives on the cross.
Okay. Praise God. All right, anyone else?
No, I'd like to at least say something about that, what you said, George. No, you're right. I think that's why I think – part of what you said, you know, is why the enemy hits me so hard is like, we are that, I think you said we're the reason that those people are still alive, that, you know, God has given them send out a lifeline where we have a purpose there. And I mean, any job I used to think, oh, well, you know, I'm just another person there, but not until about 2012, when I really met God, I would think that way. I thought, wow, I have a reason to be here. You know, I'm hated by a lot of people. I'm trying not to rub people the wrong way here, but it happens when you, live for Jesus and you share the truth. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I look at the business I've worked at and I see the changes that God has brought in, you know, small, subtle changes. Or, I mean, I was looking today, you know, and it was a bit, you know, encouraging. It was a fellow coworker. I see God has really changed him to a pretty big extent. You know, I mean, it seems like he's definitely worked in his heart. And I saw him talking to another coworker. He said this was a black gentleman, younger guy. And this guy I'm speaking of, his name's David. I've brought him up, a couple times for prayer. I mean, and I've always sensed from time to time, just some, you know, I mean, he said some just, you know, racist things. I mean, you know, there's been others, and it's just, you know, I mean, from time to time when I hear it, but I see him talking to this younger gentleman, and I was like, wow, God is doing a work here. You know, he's doing random things, and it was so encouraging because, like, you know, like you said, I mean, if we weren't there, then who knows what would happen. But yeah, I am encouraged just to see subtle changes, you know, and it's, I mean, despite all those negative folks, like Pat said the other night, you know, there's those who are just habitually negative, you know, it seems like they want to sabotage things. There is changes happening, you know, God is working and then, you know, he is doing something. So I'm definitely encouraged. So, yeah. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, a lot of times we don't realize we're speaking curses upon people and blessings. You know, I have to confess something that just the other day after I got home, we were talking about, my wife and I were talking about someone in our family, and I was throwing out all kinds of negatives, and I said, well, what do you think? She said, well, God's told me not to judge anybody, and I'm not gonna do that. I said, oh my goodness, you know, who do you think you are? Come on now. I'm supposed to be the holy guy, you know, and all that kind of junk. And then I sat back down and I got to realizing what she said was true, you know, and I knew that. And yet I get caught up into that, you know, well, you know, they did this and they did that. And yet they just ain't no good, you know, da, 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 da. And I went in and I told her, I said, look, I appreciate what you did because you just brought conviction upon me. You condemned me. you did all these things, but I realize you're right. We're not to talk curses upon people. We're supposed to be talking blessings on them. And if we can't talk blessings on them, keep your mouth shut. You know, and that's what I need to do. And I learned that from her, of all people, which is good. You know, it doesn't make any difference where we are in the kingdom. We can always learn from somebody, can't we? It didn't make any difference. But anyway, that's something I learned that I knew, but I hadn't put it into practice in, as far as my family is concerned. And I learned something. I said, okay, I'm going to do that now. With the grace of God, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and speak nothing but blessings for my family, no matter what. Okay. Anyway, that's my confession, and I repented. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Amen. Now, I'm back on the track now. You ought to get off your old high horses now and quit looking down on me. All right, go ahead, Pat.
I think Missy had her hand up, didn't you? No. I learned a lesson like that when it was actually connected to what Joe was saying there, because I didn't quite, I guess I wasn't tracking exactly with what you were saying there, Joe, but I believe what you were saying is that you were in the group of guys, and then the conversation started going south, and as it does probably every day, you kind of just pulled back, and then you decided to go to the management to talk about it, or what is that? What you said?
Actually, this is I'm trying to remember how it was. When I first show up in the morning, a few of us will be in the break room in the morning, you know, before we start to shift. You know, we'll go ahead and clock in, and I'll just sit in there for a couple minutes, just maybe, you know, just kind of hang out a little bit, you know, relax before we start to shift. Then we have a pre-shift meeting. So it was at the pre-shift meeting, you know, there tends to be kind of various conversations, we tend to joke a lot, you know, I mean, stuff like that. This time around, I was thinking about this with, a couple testimonies you've given before, Dave, about at your workplace, cursing yourself. I think I did, you know, just a couple days ago. I was really feeling just, I guess, you know, my shoulder was hurting. My arm was at the time in the morning. So I really wasn't as alert as I have been lately. And so, the conversation just, everyone was joking around. And it was, it was really sexually inappropriate, you know, something about me. And it just caught me off guard. So, yeah, from there, I think I just eventually waited about a couple hours, you know. I mean, I was really fighting back a lot of thoughts, you know, different stuff like that. And eventually I said, I need to go to the supervisor. I need to get this out there. And I think, I mean, I should have stopped and prayed and just, you know, took taken authority over everything, you know, before I went. That was my first mistake. But ultimately, I think I just said, well, you know, through the unforgiveness, the anger and all that, I was like, it was almost wanting to get even, you know. And so then I went to the supervisor and said, hey, you know, I want to deal with this, or I want to nip this in the bud, you know, and I should have prayed and I should have dealt with that, you know, accordingly. But yeah, that's basically what happened. So
I was, I learned a lesson when I was a really young Christian. The Lord started showing me the environment of authority and how that we tend to look on authority as an ogre with somebody over you all the time and forcing you into submission, and you gotta, you know, we just grow up, I believe, looking at authority as an enemy, something to put up with type thing. And so consequently, anybody in authority, we tend to, you know, I think we have I was born with, obviously, with an improper view of what God created when he created the environment of authority and his kingdom functions by authority and authority path. In other words, when God wants something done, he speaks it, and a whole path of those under his authority do his will. God doesn't get down off of the throne and go out there and pull out his hammer and start hammering nails, you know. His kingdom functions off of authority. So the Lord showed me that when I was very young, and consequently introduced me to recognizing his authority in everything that touched my life or was in my life. And he taught me the importance of in that when I was learning that process or that environment of acknowledging that, to reinforce that fact within me and acknowledging it by thanking him, literally thanking him in the midst of these adverse situations, that 99% of the time I would create myself by my reactions and responses to authority around me. And so, and I believe that's why God led me into a church, into the religious structure in those days, obviously, is because that's an environment of authority. There's a certain authority structure there, where, you know, though it be the Nicolaitan era, so to speak, it's still a structure of authority, and you have to learn to play by the rules, so to speak, and, you know, that's. And God teaches us through that process. But so when I, where I was going with this, I have to think a minute. So I became very sensitive to, especially once I got into a supervisory position where I'm working with people and that sort of thing, working with other crews and contractors. And so what I do is I work as a general contractor where I have a relationship with subcontractors, which are under our authority. and those subcontractors send foremen out into the field to actually do their task. So my communication for the most part is through a foreman in order to get certain questions answered and provide leadership and guidance for those people to function and work. And so consequently, if I'm not getting results out of my communication with this particular foreman, there is a higher level of power I can approach, and that is their project manager. So if I talk to their project manager and say, hey, I'm having a little problem with this, such and such, such and such in the field, I have to be very sensitive as to how I approach that. Because in the field, so to speak, I'm working with people, and I have to be sensitive to their role as their team leader, so to speak. And I have to be sure that I preserve that authority that they have in their own midst by not undercutting their authority. I don't know if I'm making sense with all this, let's just say if I go to that guy and that foreman and I say, listen, you're not cutting it. I need you to get more manpower here. And he says, I can't get, or, you know, you're not doing enough. There's a quality issue here. I need you to fix it. And he doesn't fix it or whatever. Well, I guarantee I can make a phone call to his boss and I'd say, I need to get this corrected here. There's a problem in the field. I guarantee the next day it's going to be fixed. But if I come off and I say to that guy, listen, your foreman out here is not cutting it. I'm getting tired of putting up, blah, 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 and then rake him over the coals. It's going to rake that project manager over the coals. He's going to go to that foreman in the field and chew him out and say, listen, I don't want to hear about this anymore. You get your, you know. Well, I'll get things done, but my relationship with that foreman is going to be a little bit strained after that point. So you see what I'm saying? I have to be very careful how I address those issues, because In that authority structure that God has placed us in, all of us in, every one of us, from the highest to the lowest, whatever that would be, is in an authority structure of some sort. We're all under authority. And so if I want to preserve the working relationship and the unity and the camaraderie out there in the field, I have to realize that I can't just pull the trigger at any time I want to try to force the issue type of thing. So the reason I'm saying that is that then the Lord took me back around, and this is where I failed miserably. He took me back around to is it Matthew 18? Michael, if you can jump in here, I don't remember where if someone offends you, you go
Matthew
to,
18 and 15 through 17.
Yes. Okay. And so I found myself getting comfortable using that lever of power of going directly to that project manager and sending an email and going through that path. But the Lord showed me I was violating a very sensitive part of Matthew 18 there, that I really needed to go, if this foreman was offending me, shall we just say, I needed to go to him and iron that out and get and reconcile my problem with him. And then obviously I'm under authority to my boss. I still got a job to do. And if I can't reconcile it with this person, and I found myself saying to these four, they would say, give me an excuse saying, I don't have the manpower. I do not have enough help out here. And so instead of me, and again, I learned this through the school of hard knocks because I got my hind end handed to me more than once doing this. So I would go to the project manager and I'd send him an email and say, we need more manpower out here. And I'd copy my boss and everybody up the chain. And of course, you push a button there and it's like an explosion. You've got all kinds of flurry of activity and people scrambling and then this and that really creates, to a certain degree, havoc. But I found that if I go to that foreman and say, listen, I can get you more manpower, but and how I'm going to do that is I'm going to email your boss. I'm going to go directly to your boss and say, look, we need more manpower here. And I'd have that conversation with that foreman and get him on my team, so to speak, saying, yeah, if you could do that, that would be really great. So, the thing that I learned and how I learned that was here about when we were back 4 or 5 months, I don't remember how long it was, maybe 6 months ago when we had that 40-day fasting. David called a 40-day fast. And I don't think I was on, pardon me?
40?
Yeah.
That must have been before I came in. No, wait, you mean 10-day? 10-day fast?
No, we had a 40-day fast.
Okay. No, yeah.
How long ago was that?
Seemed like yesterday, but no, it's been a while.
That was a year ago.
Was it a year ago?
I'm explaining, yeah.
What did we do on that fast? I don't remember.
Liquid fast.
We lost weight, Dave.
Oh. Okay. Well, hey, now I remember.
That's where we were taking hamburgers and hot dogs and things like that and making a soup out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I was working. I was working at that time. And I did lose a lot of weight, but I was working at that time. But I happened to be working on the night shift, and everybody in my company, when you work on the night shift, you're in a different world. You never see anybody that's, you know, and whatever. But it was about in that time when I had a contractor that was. And to make things worse, understanding this rule of authority or whatever, I was working with the unions. So when you work with a union on a union project, you have a whole nother structure of authority that's in existence there that you have to function with. But anyway, hope I'm not rambling here, but to make a, you know what, I can't even say that because I don't make story short. So it's just, that's the way it is, I guess. We were having a problem with this HVAC contractor, and he was doing his own thing. He wasn't taking any direction. He was coming and going when he wanted. They were working 6 hours a day instead of 8 hours a day, and you know, the whole thing. And we were getting farther and farther and farther behind. And I wrote an email to his boss and copied my boss and everything like that. And all hell, shall we say, broke loose, fell loose. And this guy, the next day, got in my face, this number with on my chest, this number. And he reamed me out. And I was very quiet, just took it. And listen to it because he was in my face and whatever. I went home and the Lord showed me that he was correcting me. He was definitely correcting me for my misuse of that principle, that law of authority. And I went to that guy, and a matter of fact, there was two other foremen that I went to, and I said, listen, the Lord showed me last night that I was wrong in what I did. When I went to your boss to talk about this situation, I went around your authority and I undercut your authority in the field. And I'm sorry, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Type of thing. You know, his attitude totally changed. It was like it just restored that relationship. Now, I have to admit, it didn't last very long, but it totally changed. And the other guys out there as well, the same thing happened. So, but I have to admit that that's the most uncomfortable way of doing it. When you have an issue with somebody, I avoid that like the plague. I have to admit it. I try to find any other path other than confrontation or going directly to that person. So I know that that is God's way of doing it. And so I say that with a confession and a prayer as well, that God would break that tendency within me to violate his appropriate avenue of or environment of authority, and use the Matthew 18 process every time I can. So anyway, that's I think all I had to say.
Well, amen. No, I would second that last part there, confession, Pat, because that's why it was so easy for me to get involved in faction, because the whole time I was like my whole life pretty much, go behind this person's back and talk about them, or bring this person over into the whole mix and help me out here. Cause I don't want to face this person. I don't want to get involved in with the conflict. Like you said, it's very uncomfortable. So I second that. That's a confession and a prayer request on, both our parts, pray for both of us. We can break that and take serious that. Cause I see the destruction in my life of just, relationships when you don't go to that person. But I think with my work situation, it isn't so much an issue going to, of course, me being on the bottom, I'm not a manager, but just going to management, it's getting easier. Like I said, the Lord's doing, stuff there, and it's getting easier to go to my boss. And like I did, I went to my boss who I rarely ever went to in the past. That was such a strained and just such a hostile, territory, at times it felt like, but it's, like you said, with Matthew 18, go to that individual. So I guess in this sense, Matthew 18 isn't just a brother in Christ, but it's saying anybody, I guess, does that make sense?
It's anybody. I believe that it is a principle. It's a law by which the world that God created, he created that law. I mean, a lot of times I believe that a lot of the scripture, the gospels, are not so much commandments that Jesus is saying, but they are Jesus elucidating what is in existence, what's already in existence. And when he told us about Matthew 18, he's giving us a principle that was that the world and that the kingdom of God is created to function in.
Gotcha.
That's what I believe. It is a commandment, it is a command, but it's a commandment because he's telling us this is the way the game has been created. you know, lucky you will be successful. Violate it, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. It's the same principle of operation in all of life, I think.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah, that's not just for the kingdom, but for the world as well. You know, it does work. So, yeah, absolutely. Amen.
Well, it, as Pat said, it is a commandment, but it's also a principle for the world to live in too. If you have someone over you and you go over them to complain about the one that's directly over you, you're bypassing structural adequate, so to speak. And that doesn't cause anything but problems. And like Pat said, we need to go to the person that's involved and talk with him, you know, and try to straighten things out with him. And don't come to him as mad. No, just come to him as someone that's concerned about the way things are going, and point out things what you see, you know, and whatever he comes up with, that's what you'll abide by, because he's in authority in that particular instance. When we're out in the workplace, we're working for Christ. We're not working for the people around us. And when you're working for Christ, you're going to give it all. Just give it all. And by that, we want to walk like Christ. We want to talk like Christ. We want to listen like Christ. I'm getting these signs up there saying my internet is unstable, so I'm going to have to turn that off. But anyway, that's the way I would approach it. Anybody else got any other kind of thing they'd like to bring into that? Anytime that you sidestep protocol in the workplace, you're going to create some problems, I would think. I know in my past experience, that's always been the case. It's always, you know, try to go to, I'd ream them out. You know, I shouldn't do that, but that's, you know, that's just the way I was back then. But now I understand that we're to go back. We're supposed to go in there as Jesus. Go in there as Jesus. Go ahead, Dave.
I just say, you know, in this situation right now, it's as time permits, you'll try to pursue peace with all this, with everybody, and the best you can, like Pat was talking about, you know, letting them know, hey, you know, I screwed up. I should have came to you first about this, if they will listen. And after that, try to maintain that peace in this structure relationship we talked about, how we work out our salvation, fear, and trembling. The way we do that is we follow the rules. But at the same time, you know, there's very good likeliness here. It doesn't matter if you try to pursue peace with somebody or not, they're not going to have it because they're not in the same mind. You know, and that you have to recognize that too. We're just supposed to try to pursue peace. It doesn't mean we're going to be able to make peace. I'll give you that, because there's some people that don't have that spirit in them. So you recognize those that you can't make peace with, and don't necessarily try to have any confrontation with them. That's all you can do with that, and pray. If God's going to open our eyes and bring them into the kingdom, that'll be his work. It's not going to necessarily be yours with what you've got to say, because the guy is already mad and he doesn't like you. Maybe because he doesn't like that Christian or Christ in you. He doesn't realize that. Because I've got people like that at work that are very, you know, just angry people. Very angry people. And now they'll try to set you up left and right, but the Lord takes care of it. And that's part of the crucifixion process for us to go through, is to receive that and recognize what Lord's doing. And he's trying to take the flesh out of you. Well, don't fight it. You know, have that peaceful spirit, because that's how you're going to overcome this, and it's not going to keep on coming at you. But at the same time, there's just those out there that are just, that's their mission in life. So if that's going to be God's using them for a vessel of dishonor, that's what they're going to do. You have to recognize that. And I'm not trying to condemn people, but you got to use discernment, you know, and not get wrapped up. That's one of the things about being a good soldier of Christ, is you don't get wrapped up in the worldly affairs. You can, to a degree, when you're trying to help people out, when you're trying to help them come into the image of Christ. That's one of the things I pray, you know, Lord, I don't want to try to save the world, but I want to save those that you want me to talk to, that I can make a difference, that I, you know, I'm not going to have to try to win over. And I mean, just recently, an example, as I talked to a woman over the last couple of weeks, that she had fallen away from the Lord a little bit, actually spoke in tongues and all that stuff, but now she's going through some tough times, and it's because she kind of fell away from the Lord. It's not that she fell into any some gross sin or anything. She got away from trust-structured church, and she didn't have any place to go. And that just kind of gave her an isolation moment. And that isolation just kind of gave her a coldness, and her feet got cold with the Lord and the gospel and relationship with others. And so I was trying to – I'm bringing her back into this kingdom, and she's very grateful, and tears and everything else. You know, it's really – wonderful to see somebody they finally have somebody they can come and talk to. You know, they're at that spiritual level at one time, maybe where you were, but now it's gone and they want it back. And she's got some other issues. She has some cancer issues, and we prayed on that, and I cast it off her. And she said, oh yeah, the Lord gave me a dream about that a couple of weeks ago. And she didn't say the Lord, but I had a dream that, you know, the doctors came and saw it, and the cancer was all gone. I says, I see, the Holy Spirit's already talking. He's took care of the cancer. But that's the kind of stuff, you know, you want to come across people, too, that are hungry to get back into the kingdom or hear the word. So pray for that, you know, because that's for me, that's a lot easier to real road to go to than try to save the world, because you try to save the world, and they don't necessarily want to hear you, you know. But you can save those that God's prepared their hearts for. So ask for that avenue, and then you kind of have your roadmap of what it is the Lord's got you doing. You know, I always just say, Lord, if there's some opportunity here, let it present itself so that I can see that's my time, that's my cue. And then if I don't get it the first time, go ahead and hit me again in the head, let me see it again so that I know I got to take my cue and work with that. So you just use those opportunities and let the Lord present it. And rather than try to knock down the door, let the door be open for you. And so, again, with your people that you're working with, you're going to have to pursue peace, because that's part of the scriptures. In Hebrews, I looked it up, chapter 12, 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man will see the Lord. You're at a point now where, you know, I think he knew you would go this route, and now he needs you to continue on. And now this is going to be another part of their flesh crucifying thing we all have to go through, where now we're seeing where the old man kind of still was reigning a little bit, and now we're killing in that flesh. And this is the next step we take, where we're going to start, it's going to start coming more and more in the image of Jesus when you do this. Because your heart's going to be changed and transformed, and you're going to see the light, and you're going to feel the peace of the Lord when you do these things. So that's just my advice.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim. You had your hand raised.
Yeah, I just listened to this conversation. A couple of things came to mind, you know, regarding the Matthew 18. Thing is that when you go to your brother and just you and him alone, and you gain a brother if he listens. And another thing that you gain is if you can address it in a non-confrontational way, you'll get a respect from him, whether he shows it or not, that, you know, that if this happens again, you're probably gonna, you know, come and address him again. You know, just the two of you, you know, and that will change his behavior a little bit. You know, he'll think twice before, you know, playing bad again. But the other thing is that when they start to respect you, that can open the door to, you know, bring him into the kingdom, even though that you're not, even expecting that. That if he respects you and then sees the way you live your life and the morals that you exude, it might be an example, and it might be, you know, something that brings him in, and just the mutual respect thing. So it's a tough lesson. I know it, you know, it's tough to go to somebody that, you know, that's misbehaving, and especially if they have authority over you. But if you can do it in a private setting and just say, hey, look, you know, this wasn't something that I'm comfortable with. You know, I've got my beliefs, and this is outside my belief system. I don't believe we should be behaving like this in our work environment. And it probably won't ever happen again. And like I said, you may, and the word may get out, you know, well, you know, that was inappropriate. We shouldn't do that. Joe's got his rights to a comfortable work environment. So anyways, that's where I was thinking with this. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I was going to say something that happened actually today, but it doesn't have to do with authority. It had to do with trying to reason with someone today, and you know what happens there sometimes. Trying to reason the scriptures to someone. And I found out that this person actually had went through a seminary course, and he actually quoted some verses. So John chapter 1, the first three verses there. But he does not believe the word of God is divine. And, you know, I say to him, like, well, I can tell by your ancestry that you had some practice with the word of God, you know. And I was going, why don't you want to pursue this? And he goes, you don't believe. And he mentioned things like elect people. He didn't believe in that and stuff like this. And I was going, well, what kind of seminary class was this guy taking? You know? And then I said to him, so, were you ever called? And he said, no. And then I went, well, how did you take a seminary class not being called? How could you possibly understand something if you're not born again? You know? And that sort of stumped him a bit. And you're trying to reason with him to at least try and pursue something that was from his ancestry, which he told me what his ancestry was, you know. And his father was Dutch, and his mother was from the American South. And so he mentioned that he liked the word as just a word, you know. It was a pleasant word to him, you know, and he mentioned the Sermon on the Mount, you know. And I just let it rest after a while, trying to reason with him, trying to give him some verses about the word in itself, but it wasn't getting anywhere. So I told him a little story about an atheist that used to behave very nicely to me and never said the swear word. And he was the one who actually, when I was in my early 30s, would come and do the PM work on my machine. And they would come in once a week and oil it and grease it and go from one end of the machine to another. And I never heard him say a swear word. And I was sure this guy was a Christian, you know, of some sort. And I kind of witnessed to him. And he was in his late 50s and I was in my early 30s. And he just got angry. The whole all his face was just turned with anger. And he turned away and didn't look at me for a while. And then I just came over and I just said, what's wrong? You know, like, what did I do? And he goes, Andrew, we've been getting along pretty good. Don't preach to me. I'm an atheist. And all I said to him was, okay. And he actually really helped me a lot, you know. I met him once later on in a mall, and I had a little conversation with him, and that was it, you know. And so I told him that story about this guy, you know, that he was a real nice guy, you know. He behaved very politely, you know, but he confided in me that he was an atheist and that he would have this anger on him if I ever discussed this with him. So I just backed off, you know. And being in my early 30s and he in his early 50s, you know, you have that respect your elder kind of attitude too, you know. And so I said he was a nice guy too, you know, and let it go at that, you know. And that's what happened to me today, you know. It frazzled me a bit, you know, but I prayed for him and I said, you know, Lord, he's got some interest in your word there on the Sermon on the Mount. And I prayed for this guy, and he's just a part-time worker that comes in occasionally to help us out. And I said, open that to him, Lord. And so that's what I'm having faith for him for this. He's a non-believer, but he can quote scripture. And he had seminary class. And this is the first anomaly that I ever had like this happen to me with such a person, you know. And, well, that's what happened. I don't know. It was just something Dave was talking about there that sort of made me think about what happened to me today. You know, it was all civil, you know. I just said to him, I'll try and be very civil now, and we'll just, this will get into a huge argument if we continue with it. It's just that he spoke very nicely, and so did I, you know, and that was it, you know. So, you know, the voices could go a little bit higher because it's in a print shop, you know, there's machines going, but nothing fazed him. Everything I was saying, he was speaking opposite to. But then again, he said, I have this like for the word, because he thought it was the way it was written was so nice, you know, to be polite, in other words. It made you a polite person, you know, and it's like all the other religions, you know. And of course, you can see the kind of attitude that this is happening to people who actually even studied and read the word. And I did say to him, you know, so how did you expect to gain anything out of this without being called from the Lord or being born again? So that there was kind of subtleties that I'd mentioned there that could maybe lead to something, you know, and I hope it does for him. So that's what happened to me today. And, you know, the reasoning was like, I based it all on scripture, and, you know, his word was man's word. Mine was God's word, but, you know, there was no getting through. Even told him the full gospel, you know, about receiving this new life in Christ. Because he actually mentioned something, and he said, these words are really good for living, you know. And I went, you're not that far from getting it all right here, you know. And but he's an agnostic and bordering on atheist, I guess. I don't know. And so that's how it ended up. You know? I can be really zealous, though. You got to have some zeal, you know, when you talk about God's word, you know. And it ended on a good note, because I had to work with him later on that day, and you know, like, we're across from the table, and you know you've got to talk to someone, you know. So that was part of the conversation. But when I said I wouldn't talk about it anymore to him, to be civil, because I knew it would go too far, he was kind of hoping I would, maybe waiting there, you know, for a confrontation or something. I just let it go. You know, if he wants to know something, he will ask. You know, and I remember my younger days, what would have happened? And it doesn't usually end up too well, you know. But like I say, you'll get mocked, you get murmured against, you get scoffed at, and you get scorned. But you know, if you're constantly being bombarded from that, when they start doing that to you, you know, you've been scoffed by the best of them. You know? So what's this? This is nothing new, you know. So you just go on with that, and you know, laughed at, you know. So you know, you just take it all in and say, you know, to yourself, anyway, it's not my word; it's God's word. You know, it's God's spirit; it's God's life. And that's. Well, you know, he thought it was a nice word, though. Yeah. Makes you have some good moral concepts you can pick up there. So that's where he's at, anyway.
Amen. I remember what Andrew Murray said about seminary. And that was back 100-something years ago. You know, he said, well, it wasn't good, whatever he said. I forget what it was, but whatever was good, he wasn't said. He said, I came to the Lord in spite of seminary. He said, because the professors didn't believe in Christ. He said, most of them didn't believe in Christ. And the ones that did didn't believe the right things about Christ, you know. But he said, in spite of that, he said, I kept with the word, and the word is what saved me. So, praise God for the word. I ran across just a little story here, talking what Andrew was talking about. I ran across a guy out in the flea market one time. It's been years ago. That was back when I used to go out and hand out tracts and talk to people one-on-one. And it's a large flea market. I ran across this gentleman. He was older than I was. I'd ask him, I said, are you a believer? And he looked at me and he got mad. He said, let me tell you about a believer. He said, I was going to this church. Me and my wife was going to this church. And he said, the next thing I know, the preacher run off with my wife. He said, I ain't want nothing to do with the Lord. I said, well, the Lord didn't run off with your wife. You can't get mad at him. But he didn't want to listen to it. And he had a woman with him at the time. So I just left it alone. Yeah. I've run across that more than once, of preachers running off with people's wives, you know, crazy stuff like that. Anyway, just a funny story. All right. Anyone else on what we've been talking about here?
Andrew, what was the guy's name?
I can't remember his name.
Saul.
He's a part-timer, you know. Well, I don't even know. You can even classify him as a Saul. At least Saul had some respect for
him. Well, you're right.
Oh, boy. I wish I remembered his name.
Part-timer sounds good.
Part-timer. I know his face anyway. You know, but he was one of those like mild guys. And I said, well, you know, maybe he is a believer. Maybe I can have something to talk to. So I brought up the conversation, too, you know. It sort of led into the Bible and stuff, but no reasoning. When they have no reasoning, he said he didn't believe in sin either, you know, and I'm just going, boy, this guy's way out in some far off deep end. And, you know, I remember that the sin of unbelief is there too, you know. And anyway, I can tell that the other people that were walking around there was going, here he goes again. you know, with someone else, you know, and I'm going, oh no. So, I just, you know, sometimes, you know, I would speak a little louder so they might hear some of this stuff too, you know. Anyway, I did say, you know, this hasn't happened to me in a long time, so I actually learned something, that people actually do quote Bible verses, and they go to seminary class, and they're not Christian. They speak very much vehemently against God's word, and you try to reason with them and sway them in another direction, to be for it at least. And it just sometimes doesn't work, doesn't happen, you know, and you just move on and pray for them. You know, so someone would come to him who you might trust a little more, and hear the full gospel again, and have a respect for the word, you know. But, you know, I'm thinking here, you know, a mother who's a Southerner must have been involved with some church, and a dad that came from Holland, you know. I remember going to a church. It really popped into my head when I was in a Christian Reformed church there from Holland, and I used to really like that church when I came out of Catholicism, and I actually got my whole family to go to that church one time, and nothing happened. And anyway, that's it.
Okay. All right. Where was you going with that, Pat? Did you want to pray for this guy?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's say, go ahead and pray for him. We'll believe with you.
Father, we thank you for this testimony, this story, Lord. We thank you that your word is greater than, Lord, you had it written for a particular reason, that word does not change, will not change. And Lord, we just thank you for that man's attraction to your word, Lord, because we know that there has to be a love for something. There has to be something in there that you've placed in his heart. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Just take this time to bind any spirit of opposition, any spirit of anger, any spirit of bitterness, of unforgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would open up his eyes to see that he needs to forgive. I'm not sure how you would work that in him, Lord. So I'm just trusting you and asking you, Lord, to put grace in his heart to seek out your word, to look for the solutions of the problems that are in his life, Lord. Maybe he doesn't want to come to other people to ask questions about it. Maybe he's standing on the side just watching and listening. But Lord, I do thank you that your word is alive. It is living. It's powerful. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so that word works everywhere you send it to. So Lord, I just pray that you would continue his desire, give him strong desire to just to open up, read that word, think about it, and allow your word to penetrate those lies that are at that foundation and break down that wall of deception in his life. I just ask it in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the authority you've given each and every one of us to pull down those strongholds in other people's lives, Lord. Just give Andrew wisdom to watch and to wait and to pray when you show him a stronghold that needs to come down, and just give Andrew strength and wisdom and a sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to pull it down immediately by prayer. Bind that strong man and pull that lie down in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given Andrew to guide him into all truth. And we thank you for that. Just bless him. Bless this man in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you think about it, and I was thinking here while you were relating that, Andrew, about this guy that does read the Word, apparently, and through reading the Word, it's not going to come back void to him. And we can, I know that I used to read the Word before I was saved. I was intrigued by biblical prophecy, and I'd read all the books about it and all that kind of stuff. I had the wrong theology toward it, but at least I was reading the Word of God and understood a lot about the Word of God. A lot of it I didn't know. Most of it I didn't understand. But that's what brought me to Christ, is this Baptist boy and I, at the plant where we worked at, we were both supervisors, and he come down to my office and we'd talk about the Bible. And he said, "Well, what church you go to?" I said, I'm not even a Christian, man. I just like to read about end time prophecy." And he said, "Man, you know more than a lot of people do." Of course, I had the wrong theology, don't get me wrong. And he said, "Why don't you come?" And he kept bugging me to go to his church. And finally, I said, just to get him off my back, I went to his church. And that's when the Word of God kicked in, was when I did that. And if you understand David's testimony, that's how he came to Christ too, is reading the Word of God. So yeah, it can happen, just reading the Word of God. Go ahead, Pat. Oh, okay. You praising God, wouldn't you?
No, I was. It's exactly the way I came to the Lord as well. The Lord just put a desire. It was exactly prophecy, exactly. I read the late great Planet Earth way back when. And I started thinking about that and reading more and more. And that led me over to a Bible, led me to a Christian girlfriend and various different things like that. And I ended up reading the Word, and the intensity of that thing got stronger and stronger and stronger. And yes, I can agree 100% with that. That Word is definitely alive, and it will peel that onion in your life, you know. So praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm fighting with a red wasp here. I got him to praise God. I got him. He'd been flying around me all evening, but he's dead meat now. Okay. Yeah, that's I can imagine a lot of people coming to Christ. A lot of people came to Christ over that same book, Pat. That was one of the first books I read, was Late Great Planet Earth. As misguided as it was, it brought people to the Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? We're just going to believe for this guy, Andrew. You're going to come back with a good testimony here in a little bit. Wait till that ground starts shaking. Here, go back to that Word. Okay. Anybody else?
I was going to say, there is a guy at work I want to talk to sometime. I haven't had an opportunity yet, but this man will be an interesting guy to talk to. He's only been in the post office for a year, but he's about my age. Maybe he's in his 50s. I don't know. But I got talking briefly about him to him once in the break area, which I don't usually go to. And I asked him, because I thought he'd been in the post office longer. So, how long you been here? He said, "Oh, only a year." I said, "Oh, because he's on my day shift. Usually anybody on the day shift's been there forever." I said, "I see." And I didn't want to embarrass him. I wasn't saying more of that. But he says, "Yeah." He says, "I was on a path of life that didn't work out." He says, "I was studying to become a priest in the Catholic Church." And he said, "My I said my bishop, whatever, was a real stickler on having to maintain a 3-point-something grade average. Otherwise, if you didn't do it, you're done. And he says, I had one course I just was not doing that well. And then professors were saying, yeah, you're fine. You just we'll work it out and you can, you know, we'll get, you know, redo this, retake the course. And he says, the bishop said, no, you're done, when he was over. And it sounds like he went quite a ways. You know, I think he's probably got at least a master's degree or close to it. So it's like, oh, I need to talk to this guy. I want to see what he's all about. Because I'm curious to find out where his faith at. Is he a Christian? what did he go through? You know, what is he? Why was he so thrilled that he was, that was his thing, that was his path, was to become a priest in the Catholic Church. And but still, he's a well-educated man. But trying to find out, you know, what was the? I know he's indoctrinated in the Catholic Church, but I want to see where he's at now, what he really knows about the Lord, and how he feels about things. I'm waiting for this conversation to come up, because to let him know, hey, you know, you're still a priest of God, whether you know it or not. You know, this is our calling. You don't have to be ordained in the church to be a priest. You are a priest for God if you know the true calling in the Lord. I just, when we were talking about this, I'm waiting for that conversation to come up.
Well, what you might do is go up to him and say, what is it about the Eucharist that drives you Catholics? You know, that'll bring out some stuff in him. I'm just saying, if you want to get your conversation going, try that. All right, I'm kidding, Dave.
Yeah, what is this thing about Mary anyways?
Let's step on this landmine. Boom!
Yeah. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Anyone, what are you shaking your head, Missy? All right. What is it we're going to talk about now? I got a question. Go ahead, Tim. I look like you're fixing to say something. I'm going to let you say something.
Okay. Yeah, I got something to say.
Okay. Great.
Hanging out in Luke a little bit the last few days. And I must have read over this 100 times. Well, maybe not that many. Maybe 40 times. And it just kind of glossed over. But this time, might be because of our prayer, I've been asking for revelation and knowledge and stuff when I read, you know, in the word. And Luke 17:7, it hit me alongside the head this afternoon or this morning. Maybe it was yesterday morning, I don't know, but I've been rereading it. And it's Jesus talking about being a servant of the Lord. And just let me read a couple of verses here. But who is there of you having a servant plowing or keeping sheep that will say unto him, will say unto him when he has come in from the field, come straight away and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, that's his servant, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did so, or because he did the things that were commanded? Even so, ye also, when ye shall have done all the things that are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I think that, you know, when we're doing stuff that we think is our duty, we're kind of patting ourselves on the back, at least, you know, from my own personal perspective. If I'm doing the things that we're supposed to do, and considering myself a good servant, I'm saying, yeah, you're doing a good job, you know, and putting some feathers in my cap. And this verse really pointed out to me that we're called to do that. We shouldn't, you know, think there's any reward or any bonus in that. You know, we're supposed to do that and not think that we're special for doing it. And it just it was quite an eye opener. And I'll probably read that, you know, a few more times to see if there's more to glean out of that. But it seemed like a good conversation point. If you guys have anything to throw at that.
I'll give you a conversation I had today concerning that a little bit. You know, I told you about the one woman I just recently talked to that had been away from the church a little bit, or away from the faith, away from Jesus, away from hearing the gospel and talking to people and have faith to give her hope. And she's crying a little bit to me. That was last week. And I've been kind of encouraging her along and telling her to go to UBM, gave her Sovereign God book and all that stuff. But then I had another woman today say, you know, I'm really glad you talked to her. And, you know, he's trying to do this to me, you know, and I'm really, you know, she's really good. And I says, you know, I said, we're in a body ministry. I says, it's not about, you know, it's about us all coming together and encouraging each other and bring us all up into the word and looking after each other and praying for each other. And we all have something to contribute. I says, we're all in this together. I said, it's not like we're not one person on our own little island. I said, we're here as a body to work together, to come together and make this all work. And I said, that's just how this whole thing has been worked out with the Lord. I said, so it's, we can't just do this on our own. We come together and we depend upon each other to grow in Christ and to come into the image and share and talk. And I said, all I was doing was we came together, and all of a sudden now she's back into this fold. She's coming in. She needed that encouragement. And I said, that little hope, that little splinter of light. But I said, that's what we all supposed to do for each other anyways. I said, it's got nothing to do with, you know, hey, I did this good thing. This is what we do. I said, I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Anyone else? Luke 17:7-10. Well, I'll just throw a little something in here. The Lord is telling us that, you know, you can do the very least amount. He's telling us the things that you're commanded to do and get in, I guess, to heaven at the 30-fold, which is walking like Jesus, barely. That's what I'm thinking, you know, or we can go wholehearted, and instead of the Lord commanding us to do the things, we just go ahead and do them anyway and thank the Lord for allowing us to do them and do over and above what he wants us to do, commanded us to do, but to start walking like Jesus, start walking in the steps of Jesus, I believe is what he's wanting us to do. By faith, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this sycamine tree, be thou rooted up, be thou planted into sin, it would obey you. That was the first before what he said over here in 17:7. So if we have faith and we walk by faith that God is perfecting us, not only that we have the power of heaven, all the blessings of heaven behind us to do whatever it is that we need to do, that God tells us to do. Now, we've been talking about praying and listening to God and asking God, what is it you want us to do, Lord? What is your will in, you know, for today, for me? What you direct my path. You make my lips speak only as you want me to speak. And I think that's some of what he's trying to tell us here. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, you know, you said it might be 30-fold fruit to just do what we're commanded. But when he throws in the unprofitable servant, it kind of kind of brings up the parable of the talents and the person who hid his talent, and he calls him an unprofitable servant. And it sounds like he may not quite make the 30-fold cut. So it's real, I don't know what the word is, but it we're called to do a lot more, like you're just saying, that we can't just do the bare minimum and expect to maybe even make a 30-fold threshold. And it was just a real eye-opener for me. That's all.
Well, I agree with you with that last part there, at verse 10. You're right. He wants us to be a whole lot more than that, what we were commanded to do. He wants us to be like Jesus, doesn't he? He wants us to walk like Jesus. I ran across a word a while ago, that's what I'm looking for. We need to guard our mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then if you go to Philippians chapter 4, he tells us what to think on. Okay, this goes over and above the commandments, okay? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't just think on the command. Think on these pure thoughts of Jesus. And then you can go to the fruit of the Spirit and you can understand what he's talking about. He wants us to go over and above what he's told us to do. He wants us to want to do the things that Jesus did. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. That's where it all starts right there, is abiding in Christ and him abiding in us. I was talking to my granddaughter today, and she still believes in that sinner saved by grace garbage. And that's what happens. A little leaven's a whole lump. I've told you that she was born again, spirit-filled at least in an assembly of God. Spirit-filled church. And then she got married, and he was a Methodist, unequally yoked. We were talking about that earlier. Good guy, great guy, just like Andrew was talking about. Good guy, just doesn't believe the word. And we were talking, and she said, well, I still believe that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I said, well, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. You ain't both. That's what the word says. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Well, Papa, I just don't believe that. I said, okay, well, I've given you the scriptures. Now you need to go look at them. I didn't say it like that. I wanted to, but anyway. She'll come around because I'll give her some more teachings later on when she can receive it. Okay. Anybody else got something on what we just talked about there, that 17 and 7 through 10 of Luke? What's your take on it, Missy? I ain't taking nothing. Nope, not me. I am out of this one. No, come on, Missy. Tell us what you think, girl. Do you have anything on that? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Missy. But you're
sure you are. Sure you are.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when you asked me that, the first thing that came to me was, if you only do what you have to do to get by, that ain't good enough. You're gonna slide backwards.
You know what I mean? Because your heart's not right. Just doing what you have to do to get by.
Well, that's what Tim was talking about there in verse 10. Mm-hmm. When you shall have done all the things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do.
Right. But my thought is if that is your attitude, your mentality, you're not gonna make it, because you're eventually gonna be a backslider, is what came to me.
Well, it very possibly could be. You could be stuck at 25 instead of 30, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the first thing that popped into my head. I mean, I don't mean to sound judging or whatever, but that's just the first thing that came into my head.
You're being judgmental. Just kidding. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was reading Matthew earlier today, and doesn't it say in there, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them too? Because it seems like he's coming in from all his field work here, and he's plowing and keeping this sheep and everything, and now he's got to make this guy his supper. So he's going that little extra mile, you know. He's not complaining about it. He's just saying, okay, you know, this might be a hard master, but, you know, he's doing it anyway. On another note, you know, since I'm taking this time every day to get into prayer, I don't do it when I wake up. I do it after I come home from work and I'm really tired. But if you're really tired, then you can give into it a lot better. You can give up and say, I'm very tired. So I'm at a place where the Lord knows that I'm weakened from my tiredness, and I can get into the prayer even better. And I was just wondering if anyone else has an experience like that, because usually when you're fresh in the morning, you know, but you know, sometimes I come home from work, I'm really tired, you know, and then I said, this will be a great time to get into prayer, because right now I'm tired, and the Lord knows I'm tired, and now it'll be easier to get into the prayer mood, into the spirit, and into the to knowing what the Lord wants from you, you know, to know what he even wants you to pray, and how you ought to pray, and to be in that seeking his face, and in this tiredness, it actually energized me more to get closer to the Lord, because he was more taking over here because of my tiredness. And I don't know if this is something that's just a phenomenon with me right now, but it seems to be working. So you can pray anytime. So even when you're tired, you'll get into that seeking his face, I think, quicker, because you are tired and he's given you a break. I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is just the thing that I've noticed since I set aside this time to pray with him, you know, and it's kind of interesting, you know, on how the Lord wants to take care of us even when we're tired, or you know, when we get up there in age and stuff. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
Amen. Well, I don't think the Lord cares what time it is, as long as we do it, you know. I do it. I like to do it in the mornings, but the Lord has wakened me at night, 1:30, 2:00, 3:00, I'll pray then, you know. I'm dog tired. I'm just like you said, Andrew. I'll be dog tired, and Lord will wake me up, and I'll get up, and I'll start praying, and next thing you know, I'm rejuvenated. I can lay back down. When I lay back down, I'm out, boy. That's it. But I'm rejuvenated because the Holy Spirit has, and I might pray for 30 minutes. I might pray for an hour, whatever it is. But the Lord really rejuvenates me when I do that. And so I don't mind so much doing it either time, whatever the Lord wants, you know, like you, Andrew. I know that when I do it, I'm going to be rejuvenated. The Lord's going to help me get through this. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? I've got a little bit of a praise report, actually, that I forgot to tell y'all. I had a real good conversation with my grandson last night. He called me. I don't know, it was about 11 o'clock my time, and I'd already been in the bed, and he wanted to talk, so we talked, and we talked Jesus for the better part of an hour, and we had some good conversations, and he told me, he said, you know, I feel like I need to come back out there to Tennessee, you know, and I said, well, that's good. You better make sure it's the Lord, though, you know. And anyway, we just had a good time. I enjoyed it. As late as it was, I still enjoyed it. Okay, anybody else? It's been good. Yeah, Pat.
I just wanted to, part on the note, just I wanted to let everybody know that your prayers are working, because we had a meeting today, an owner's meeting. This is when the owner comes in and we'll walk around the floor and point out everything that's wrong and you know, bark correction to everybody. And again, the whole demeanor, I walked into this morning, and everybody's laughing and joking and whatnot. And it's just the whole spirit of the place is just very peaceful. You know, it's the contention and anger, and it just is really subsided. But, and we walked the whole store after the whole thing was done, and he was very pleased with the way everything has been happening and didn't have any problems with anything. So it was a very, very positive outcome. So I just wanted to share that and thank the Lord for that, and thank everybody for their prayers and whatnot. It's working. So, and I hope to have even a better report soon. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer. Well, all right, we'll take her back up again. What's today? It's Thursday, isn't it? Okay, we'll take it back up again Tuesday. Y'all keep on praying. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, before we go, I'd like to ask prayer, you know, like my work situation there. I got a lot of what you said, Pat and Dave, you know, what you said was pretty convicting, you know, it's seeking peace, especially what you said, Dave. Yeah, that's like totally foreign to me. You know, just kind of that understanding Matthew 18. I want prayer in that area. But I mean, I sense this is the Lord probably putting on my heart, because there's a couple guys. I mean, you know, like I said before, I've struggled with the unforgiveness in the past and bitterness. And there's at least less than, you know, one or two guys, you know, well, several guys that I can think of that is them. You know, they're very full of unforgiveness and bitterness, mostly towards, you know, from what I've seen, the boss, you know, our supervisor is just, I guess, has just done so many people wrong from what I've heard from them. So pray for me. I sense the Lord. At times I want to reach out to them and just talk about that and tell them how I, you know, the Lord brought me through it. But then I guess I've heard, well, I don't know. I mean, if this is the enemy telling me, you know, trying to discourage me from doing that, you know, or maybe that's the Lord saying they're not ready to hear it, Joe. You know, just keep on praying and just, you know, whatever. So I don't know. It's, I'd like to pray about that just to.
Okay. Yeah, Joe.
You know, opportunities.
Generally, our actions speak louder than most words do.
Yeah.
And if you show peace, peace is what you're going to get, generally speaking. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just lift up Joe to you, and I thank you, Lord, for giving him discernment and wisdom, Father, in the workplace. And also, Lord, I ask and I pray that everywhere he goes, when he exhibits the Christ-like walk, that there's peace in that workplace, that people will see that Joe is a light, that he's changed. He's just changed person. He's even likable to be around now. And Father, we thank you that. We thank you, Father, that Joe is a lighthouse to the workplace there. And wherever he goes, peace is going to be. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for placing in him joy. And not only that, to pray for those that seem to be angry all the time.
Yes.
Just to pray and bless them. Lord, we don't know what goes on in their lives when they leave work. You know, there might be all kinds of things going on in their life. And Lord, we just ask for help in that area, for Joe to see that people, he don't know what's going on in their life. Amen. And that he needs to pray for them and believe for them. And we thank you for the watchtower of peace that Joe's has become in the workplace there. Thank you, Father, for doing this mighty work in Joe, in Jesus' name. Lord, we also ask that you help us out during this week to stay in touch with you, Lord, that we would keep on praying for one another, interceding on each other's behalf, and to help each other out in that respect. And not only that, to pray for the conference call, and that these things that come up, just like Joe came up with today, it's been an awesome time tonight. Yeah. I've learned some things. And Lord, I'm sure everybody else has too, for these subject matters that come up in our everyday walk in life, Lord. And we thank you for all the answers you've given tonight. In the name of Jesus, be with us over the weekend, Lord. Set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. We want to speak nothing but blessing. Everywhere we go, we just speak blessings, and not to be judgmental, not to have a judgmental attitude, but to have a blessed attitude. That through the years, people would say, "What they this guy? He never talks bad about anybody. He always." Always blesses them. And I'm reminded of what Ken Hagin said about a friend of his one time. They told about it. People in the workplace were talking and said that this guy never said nothing bad about anybody. And they were talking about this one guy that it was had done some bad things. And old Mr. Smith, they asked him and said, "Well, Mr. Smith, what do you think about this guy?" And his answer was, "Well, he had some pretty blue eyes." And that was might have been the only thing that he could say good about him, but that he said something good rather than fall into that trap of talking bad about somebody. And Father, I ask that each one of us learn to speak blessings and not curses against your people. Not only your people, but the people out there that are lost too, Lord. And I thank you for helping us out in that respect, Lord, in Jesus' name. Protect us, provide for us, and show us the way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.